This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Saturday, game one of the Eastern Conference quarterfinal series between the Hurricanes and the Islanders. We have, when we get to the playoffs, national TV is there as well as local. And we had a chance to get John Forslund back in the building. Of course, I was too busy to come by, and I still regret that. But I'm confident that we will see John down the road. He joins us before he gets on a plane in a couple of days to go out to Denver to do the Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets. Sir, I appreciate your time. It was good to see you this morning as you kind of breeze through here. But no, it was good. I wish I could spend, I really wish I had more time on Saturday, to kind of hang out and shoot the breeze, but,
You're busy, Adam. You're very busy.
Yeah. As it turns out, yes, but, and it's good. I hope there's a lot more opportunity to kind of cross paths, over the next 2 months here.
I hope so.
Was last night more about Carolina or more about New York in the last 30 minutes of that game?
Whoa. I guess it would be a combination, but really it was about the Hurricanes figuring out on the fly where they need to go with their game, how hard they're going to have to play shift after shift. If you're going to live by the slogan of cause chaos, you got to do it, and they have. And you're going to have to be able to apply pressure on a team that can't keep up and is not as good and, you know, put them in a position where there's a little seed of doubt. And the Islanders, to their credit, have a pretty good plan in place of how they want to have some kind of success in this series. And they've been able to impose that on the Hurricanes for the better part of four periods. Now, it really doesn't matter because it's 2-0 in the series, and that's all that matters. But the Canes were able to wake up. So to answer your question, I think it's more about them. And it was more about the Islanders being victimized in a position where they were tasered by the end of the game. They had just had no idea, you know, which end was up. And that certainly showed on the ensuing faceoff where Martinuk scores 9 seconds later. So an incredible game. And Rod's absolutely right. That's one for the memory bank.
Yeah.
Going to go way down in NHL history, franchise history, all those things. I wish I was there to see it live myself, but it was incredible.
It really was the Martinuk goal. I mean, it's just in retrospect, it's so simple. You just win a faceoff. Jack Jury throws it behind the net. Martinuk goes, throws Noah Dobson out of the way, takes the puck and puts it in the net. Like, it just seems like everybody should be able to do that. I did think the Islanders were shook, and Patrick Waugh called his timeout after that goal.
Yeah.
You could make the argument, and I did this on the podcast after that, it was they were obviously visibly like shaken by the Aho goal that tied the game. That would should have called the timeout maybe then, just to say, hey guys, we're okay. It's 3-3. We haven't lost the game. Let's get back to doing. But I mean, these things are so much easier after the fact. Would something like that, I mean, who knows? Would something like that have worked? I mean, we don't see it all. We see it in basketball, calling timeouts to stem momentum. You don't see it in other sports.
Well, they only have one, right, as opposed to other sports. So the hockey coach only has one timeout. And I would think, I'm with you, I think he should have, and I think it is hindsight, but it's not completely hindsight. Because if you're thinking about it at the time, then that's probably what should have happened. Because of this, you know, the old phrase in hockey is you get bounces only if you earn your bounces, right?
Yep.
And on both goals, there was fortuitous bounces involved, okay? On the play that Aho scores on, Pelech loses his stick, gets caught out of position. I think Svechnikov's intention maybe was to shoot it on goal. It ends up going to the side. Horvat blows the coverage.
Yeah.
So they get a little bit of a bounce. They get a nice extra attacker goal. But the Islanders, and even Waugh said it after the game, they blew the coverage on the play. So if there's blown coverage, don't you call a timeout to address that.
Yeah.
Don't you, settle it down. You're not going to quiet the crowd down. The crowd's long gone now. The roof's been blown off the building. The Caniacs are going crazy. That's not the point. The point is, boys, we got some time here to get to overtime. We'll get to the room and we'll regroup. So everybody get back on point. He never said that. They drop the puck. It goes in the zone. Martin comes in, you know, flying, knocks Dobson off the puck. And then when he attempts to stuff it, it looks like he's actually centering it and it goes off Varlamov.
Yep.
So that's a bounce too. It wasn't really a wraparound, right? So it's good luck. It's great luck. And it's also earned luck. And it's a missed opportunity by the Islanders. I don't know how they recover from this, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think we're going to have two new goalies, too, on Thursday. I think we'll see Pyotr Kochetkov. I think Carolina won two games. And while, in my opinion, Frederik Andersen was the first star on Saturday, I thought the first half of his game on Saturday was just okay, and maybe that's putting it, giving him the benefit of the doubt. I thought the second half of his game was excellent, and he was, to me, the reason they won, which is why I gave him my first star. But I didn't think Freddie was all that great yesterday, and I think it's a good spot to get Kochetkov into the series, knowing that you're going to go to Andersen on Saturday because it's a quick turnaround. It's a night game, 2 days later, day game. And I think that if you're the Islanders, Sorokin is really your guy. Varlamov, who committed the penalty that really opened the door. I mean, it's just a silly 3-0 lead tripping penalty on Steph Nason that gave Carolina the extra power play and Teuvo Teravainen scored the goal. I think it's a good time for Patrick Waugh to go back to Sorokin. But I'm one of those people who thinks that anything can turn. And if the Islanders can get one, they can get another.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete Theroux, Capital Financial Advisory Group. I was on your website, and I love the term financial termites because there are always things eating at your money that you can't see.
So you don't want financial termites. Termites in the financial world are risk, fees, unnecessary commissions. All the bad things that we see and we hear about on TV are happening many times inside your portfolio you don't see. So you need a financial exterminator? Well, for the next 10 of you who call, we'll put together for you your very own total retirement plan at no cost.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Well, here it is, right? So of the four goalies, I think it's fair to say that the best of the four, the most elite, or at least the potential to be elite in where they have been, is Sorokin, right? So he's the real deal. And Freddie Andersen has been a terrific goalie over time. At this stage of his career, there's wear and tear, there's issues, and he's done a great job to come back. Kochetkov is a young, you know, budding goalie with a ton of potential and talent. That's good, too. The key here is, you know, how does it affect the team? And like we saw last night with Boston, in this case with the Hurricanes, Rod's not going to affect his locker room by changing goalies.
Right.
It's not going to be a shockwave. Uh-oh, the other guy's playing. They're used to this. So if they're used to this from the regular season and it's gone back and forth and you even throw in Spencer Martin every once in a while, you know, that they're used to it and they play the same way. The numbers tell us that. You know, the numbers for Carolina goalies over Rod's tenure have always been spectacular because his defensive system is so good. So it doesn't matter if it's Peter Mrazek or Curtis McElhinney or James Reimer or Nedeljkovic. They're all good. They've all been good here.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is a byproduct of the system. At the other end, Varlamov's time will run at some point. 35-year-old goalie with a ton of experience. But to be fair, Sorokin wore down, wasn't right. They went to Varlamov. He got hot. And maybe now, you know, it's on E. Maybe the tank's on E, and it's time to change. And the only thing the Islanders have maybe in their favor in this series is a two-day break to reset completely.
Right.
Okay? If they were playing tomorrow night, I think it'd be a little bit different. But they're going to get 2 days away from this. And then, like the Hurricanes did way back when they went to a young, inexperienced goalie to turn around a series in Cam Ward, you know, it's game three is when you do it. Now, if the Islanders have any chance at all, Sorokin needs to be lights out if he gets it in game three, which he should. He needs to take over the series, and they will ride him. Whereas Rod can go back and forth with his two goalies, and they just need to do what they need to do. Keep the team in a position to win the game.
But I want to ask you about another couple of series real quick, but For somebody, I've watched Seth Jarvis now all 3 years. I remember him as a rookie, and he had a little bit of flash. You could tell he was a good offensive player, and he had a good rookie season. Last year, he had less production in more games, but was, to me, a significantly better all-around player. They taught him the defensive game. They made him concentrate that way. And I just don't have real words to describe what I've seen from him this year. He leads them in forward time shorthanded, playing on the top shorthanded pair with Jordan Staal. He won a couple of key draws yesterday, one in the defensive zone, one in the offensive zone. And he plays like, I keep using this phrase, like small dog who thinks he's a big dog. I love the way he plays, and he fits really well with Staal and Martinook. Even from afar, what have you seen from his development?
I absolutely love this player. I still can't get myself away from this. I still watch the Hurricanes, even out west, a great deal. And I had a chance, as my two partners, Jen Bottrell and Darren Pang, were talking with Rod before the game Saturday night. The only guy I wanted to ask him about was this player. Some players just have it, right?
Yeah.
And it starts with a capital I. And that's what Seth Jarvis has. He has an ability to find a way to be a difference maker in virtually every game he plays, whether it's a face wash in the corner, whether it's a ferocious back check, whether it's a tremendous penalty kill, or these impactful shorthanded goals, these lifting goals like he had last night. He's now becoming a playoff performer. You can move him around the lineup. He has a ton of skill. He has a ton of skill, but he also has this quality about him which might separate him from most players. Now, right now he's infectious. He's a little bit of a clown, which is good. The fans love him, and he can feed off the vets. At some point in his career, he's going to be an old guy. And when that happens, he's going to be a pro's pro. And young players are going to, you know, God willing, he's healthy, and he has a long career. But you can see this happening right now. This is a special player. He gets drafted in the first round because of his talent and the fact that he could, you know, feast on weaker players in junior hockey and put up the numbers. But now that he's at the highest level, he's figured out a way that he needs to play. He's getting harnessed by Rod, which is good. But you just don't roll from one line to the next and be the same player unless you're really good. You know, hockey's all about, especially with the forwards, who you're playing with and how those players can help you be better. Seems to me, in a way, Seth Jarvis plays with different people and everybody's good.
Yeah.
You know, so that he's a very important player, and he's still very young. So good for him.
22 years old. I told a certain someone yesterday that needs to get done in the off season now.
Mm-hmm.
Eight years today needs to happen. So because if you wait, it's just going to get more expensive. That's the way these things work.
You can tell them I said so too, but I don't think that'll carry much weight. But anyway, you can try.
I'll bring it up.
Talk to me.
I'll bring it up. John Forslund is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right. Vegas took game one from Dallas. Should we be really wary of the defending champions, or is ultimately Vegas has issues that's going to be difficult to overcome and Dallas really is the best team out there?
No. I never count out the champion until they're down and done. And so when you add the players that they've added, and you now have almost a $93 million payroll because the salary cap goes out the window.
Right.
But you bring Mark Stone in and Noah Hanifin to your lineup and Tomas Hertl to your lineup. You put them all together, and you have a championship pedigree, a championship coach. The only thing that's weak, in my opinion, is between the pipes.
Yeah.
And I know that Aiden Hill was a terrific story last year, and maybe it gets back to him. Logan Thompson kind of battled his way through the season. He battled his way through that game last night. Those two guys right now, the way they're playing, are there to be had. So they're going to have to, you know, outperform the goalies and bring the goalies along. And even their coach says, you know what, if we're playing the right way, the goalies will be just fine. That's okay. But you like to have the assurance of having, you know, that position locked down, especially when you get deeper into the playoffs. But they were able to do it last year with Aiden Hill. We'll see where it goes here. Dallas is my pick. It was my pick in September for the West, and I still think they're going to be really, really a tough out here. So I'm happy I'm going to do their game on Saturday night from Las Vegas. It's a great series. But the West is hard. The West has got a lot of challenges there.
My gosh.
Especially in the first round.
The only team I don't think you can make a case for in the first round is the Kings. I think the all the other series could go either way. I chose Winnipeg over Colorado simply because I do not trust the Avalanche in goal. And I actually don't like Colorado's depth. They're so good. They score so many goals, obviously, but they're so good up top and maybe their top two lines. But after that, I don't think they've got a ton. I know how good Cale Makar and some of their other pieces are on defense, but I don't trust them to all overcome Georgiev and Nett.
No, Colorado's got to adjust their team game in front of Georgiev because he's not very good right now. And they didn't want to do that in the first game of the series. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. Hellebuck is the best goalie. Winnipeg's goalie is the best goalie in the league this season. And they have an excellent defensive structure. You can't say that for Colorado. It seems, and you know what? It was a nice piece that Mike Rupp did last night on NHL Network on Nathan MacKinnon defensively in that game in Winnipeg. He's got to be a leader. You know, if he wants to be, you know, who he is, which is one of the best players and maybe the MVP of the regular season, he's got to commit to a team game defensively to help out the guy in goal. If they do that, you know, they're going to have a chance because they can break the game open with their talent. But if they want to start trading chances and outscoring their issues, they're never going to give this goalie support. And he has no confidence right now, it appears. His play is way under the bar. And if they don't help him out, they're not going to get out of this round because I think we talked about it in the regular season. Winnipeg is the real sleeping giant in all of this. They're a very good team that has snuck up on everybody.
Yeah, I love their roster top to bottom. Hellebuck is obviously great. Rick, it would be great to see Rick Bonus have a good long run. And you could tell like the Winnipeg is almost like, at least the way they treat it, like Nashville of the North. If you will, but that scene outside the arena is just awesome. I think it's the smallest building, not named Arizona, in the NHL, like just over 15,000 people. But man, that looks like a great place to play.
It is. It's a wonderful environment, and the players realize that. And you're right. It's a great story with Rick and the health issues that he had this year, career he's had. But by and large, again, with Scheifele and Connor and Morrissey and Hellebuck, I mean, this is a team that has A-level talent, really good.
We've
and everybody
it.
Knows it. But the first round is the first round, and there's more disparity in the East. There's great teams in the East. But for, like, the Hurricanes and the Rangers, there's no question, you know, we're looking at round two here. I mean,
there's
no doubt about it.
Yeah, we should be. I think the Atlantic is interesting. I think the two best teams in the Atlantic are playing each other, to me. I think Florida and Tampa are the two best teams in the Atlantic. Boston and Toronto, I think, are both flawed. But the could be, you know, Panthers or Lightning versus the survivor of Carolina, New York. John Forsen, I'm sure I'll run into you very soon. I will talk to you maybe sooner. Appreciate your time.
So.
Safe flight. Go enjoy Denver, then enjoy Vegas, and then we'll see you soon.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for having me.
The best. John Forslund.